New call to order this meeting of the House Commerce Committee. We do have a quorum. We'll hold off on the minutes just for the moment. We do have two bills on the agenda today. We also do have a floor session that begins at 11, so I will let the committee know that we will be taking action on both bills before 10:45. And we will be asking all testifiers on all bills to keep their comments to 2 minutes. I'll remind people as we bring up the bills. The first item on our agenda today is House File 2988 from Representative Wolgamott. I will move House File 2988 be recommended to be re-referred to the Labor, Finance, and Policy Committee. Representative Wolgamott, once you're situated, please proceed to explain your bill.
Well, good morning, Chair Stevenson and members of the Commerce Committee. I am very honored to be back before you today to present House File 2988, which is a bill to adopt the recommendations made by the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council. Mr. Chair and members, the section of the bill that is under your jurisdiction is Article 1, so I will give a brief explanation of that. Article 1 relates to workers' compensation self-insurance. It amends the Minnesota Statute Chapter 79A to require a private self-insurer to notify the Commissioner of Commerce prior to or immediately upon filing a bankruptcy petition and or when it has been declared to be bankrupt. The bill requires the Commissioner of Commerce to call the private self-insurer security deposit if that private insurer has not paid its workers' comp benefits as required by Chapter 176. If the private insurer has failed to pay its workers' comp benefits, is verified in consultation with DLI, the Commissioner of Commerce may call the security deposit if they determine workers' compensation benefits would be delayed in any way. That is the summary of the article that's under this committee's jurisdiction, Mr. Chair. And with that, I have a testifier from the Department of Commerce.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Kelly. And even you, I'm limiting to 2 minutes. So if you could proceed your testimony within that 2 minute time frame.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'll be brief. Thank you to Representative Wolgamott and the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council for including these provisions around 79A. These provisions make important updates to the chapter to allow the commissioner to exercise discretion by monitoring employer subject to Chapter 11 petition who continues to pay and process workers' compensation claims. It also creates a process to which the department can meet and confer with the self-insured security fund so that they can see the posted security and make any additional plans they need to make. We think it's an important update to 79A, and we would ask for the committee's support.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Discussion to the are there any members of the public wishing to testify to this bill? Seeing none, discussion to the bill. Seeing none, Representative Wolgamott, closing comments.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for your time to present House File 2988. I'm very proud of this work that was done by the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council this year, and I ask for your support to move this bill forward.
With that, I will renew my motion that House File 2988 be recommended to be re-referred to the Labor, Finance, and Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 2988 is recommended to be re-referred to the Labor, Finance, and Policy Committee. The next bill on the agenda today is House File 2369 from Chair Hassan. As Chair Hassan makes her way down to the podium, I will move House File 2369 be recommended to be placed on the general register. I will also move the DE7 amendment, which is an author's amendment, getting the bill in the shape that I understand Representative Hassan would like the committee to consider it. Anything else you'd like to say to the DE7 before we vote on that? I'll give you the opportunity to explain the bill once we've adopted the amendment as well.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. This thing is loud. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. The DE is it cleans up the bill and puts it in a shape that is much better than what it was before. So,
all right, discussion to the DE7. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The DE7 is adopted. Chair Hassan, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. It's a great honor to have the opportunity to present this bill. This bill is about worker safety. Imagine if you know you were have to purchase a car, preferably brand new car, pay insurance, pay gas, spend all your hours of the day driving that car, and someone who provides an app So you can get right, you can get, you know, people to just click on that app so you can get service. Takes home 70% of what you make, and you take home 30%. You're the one who's taking all the, you know, who's investing all and taking all the risks. Uber and Lyft is one of the most dangerous jobs because you're driving, your back is to people. There's somebody, a stranger in your car. You don't know what they're capable of doing. They can hit you, they can shoot you, they could be drunk, they could be in different stage. And all they have to do is just click on that app and say that they didn't like you, or you make them feel unsafe because they didn't like your accent and your account's deactivated. The brand new car that you bought that you have to make payments to, you don't have a job to pay for that. That's what's happening with the folks behind me who are sitting here. Many of them are immigrants who came to this country chasing the American dream. What we're doing with this bill is say that we're fixing the rates. People in who are Uber and Lyft drivers are making less than they made 10 years ago. And as you guys know, with inflation and COVID and everything that happened in our world, things did not get easier. Even a carton of eggs is much more expensive than it was 10 years ago. So I don't know how it's possible that Uber and Lyft companies expect people to live off of what they were making less than 10 years ago. They are unsafe. There's no safety protocols. Even if something happens to you, and you're going to hear from people today who got hurt while driving Uber and Lyft, there is nobody that's going to pick up the tab and pay for your medical bills or even pay you while you're in the hospital so you can continue taking care of your family. I have Stephen Cooper here with me, who's an advocate with the community and who's been working with many of these drivers to just highlight how this bill has changed, but I'm here to tell you that we've been working on this for a whole year, and this bill, what it started, it's half of what it started, and we've been open to, you know, negotiations, we've opened to conversations with Uber and Lyft. Lyft have been much more forthcoming and willing to talk to us, and Uber hasn't come to the table, but we're still open to conversation, but we want to make sure that we continue the long tradition of Minnesota, that we can continue to protect people. And they can, at the end of the night, go home without being injured, and they can continue working. That's what this bill does, despite all the things that you're going to hear from, you know, representative from the Uber and Lyft company, that this bill is expensive. We are asking for what they have agreed on other states, and they have agreed on other states, Washington, Illinois, California, New York, and the list continues. So we're not, you know, inventing something new here. We're just trying to protect workers. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will yield some of my time to Mr. Cooper.
All right, we'll move to testimony at this point, and we'll start with Mr. Cooper. I'll reiterate that because of the coming floor session, we need all testifiers to keep their remarks to 2 minutes. Mr. Brown will time, and I'll let you know if you go over. So 2 minutes, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Right now, Uber and Lyft drivers make less than half what they made in 2014. They constantly get cut in the middle of the oil, the gas prices skyrocketed, they were cut again. Don't forget, the drivers pay for the gas, the drivers pay for the cars, the drivers pay for the maintenance, the drivers pay for everything. Let's look at the other huge problem here. If they get injured and it's not in an automobile accident, for instance, if they get stabbed or they get shot or they get over the head with a lead pipe, which, by the way, happens all the time. It's a very dangerous job. They have no protection. It's not like workers' comp. There's no workers' comp. There's no insurance. There's nothing. We have many members who have had that happen to them. When they could not work anymore, they got nothing. Ones who have been killed, their families got nothing. Our bill is designed to remedy that, and it has a very sensible thing. We took it to the insurance industry. Mr. Cocking looked at it and indicated, after we changed it multiple times, that this was an appropriate solution. The other thing that was pointed out by the member is that this bill is very much, it's only what's absolutely essential. We took out all of the other things. We took out anything that cost the state any money. We reduced the bill dramatically to what absolutely happens right now. Let's go to the insurance. On the insurance side, what we have here is an insurance policy that Uber said it'd prefer to pay for it rather than have a fee for it. So it pays for it that way. It pays for it through Uber. That policy only covers injuries that are known within 10 days of their occurring, and they have to have physical manifestations within 10 days. So it's very limited in terms of the protections it has, much more limited than other sorts of insurance have. Now, Uber has put a proposal together, which I saw for the first time last night. And in that proposal, they have a lot of silly things. They want preemption so that cities cannot have their own codes. And don't forget, cities all have codes regarding their taxi cabs and their TNCs. We also they have in there that they want to be statutorily declared an independent contractor situation. That's a very bizarre situation, particularly in a state of this nature. On this insurance, it looks what they want for the insurance offers almost nothing. They say $1 million cap, but you can't possibly get that $1 million because it's only up to $250,000 for injuries, medical care. And then the rest of it is only two-thirds of what you made as your wages for 3 years. Say, for instance, you're killed. Your family gets only...
I'm giving you about 30 seconds over already, so I need you to...
Okay, I apologize. Let me just finish with this then. Almost every section of the bill has been carefully vetted. Taken out of the bill was almost anything that wasn't necessary right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone complying with the 2 minutes. We have a short time frame today to get this done before session today. So we'll now move to the remainder of public testimony. When you come forward, please state your name for the record and proceed to your testimony. I'm going to give two names at a time so you know who's coming next. The first testifier is Eid Ali, followed by Ghari Abdi. Mr. Ali, welcome to the committee. Please state your name to the record for the record and proceed to your testimony.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chair and the members, my name is my name is Eid Ali, and I am the president of MOLDA, an organization that advocates for the well-being of drivers. I'm also a father of five lovely kids. I am the only breadwinner of the family. One thing I know is that this driving profession is not a free risk one. Every day that I step out of my house, I worry about if I may be coming back home safely and spend some time with my young family. Because I know, being as the head of this organization, I met many drivers who were hurt, and some of them even lost their lives while they were driving for Uber and Lyft. In one of our earlier hearings, we had a female who was a mom of five and also was pregnant with her sixth child at the time, testified that her Uber driver spouse was shot to death while he was on his way to pick up a passenger. And no one from Uber since today did make any contact whatsoever, even to say that we are sorry for the loss of your husband. And she is sitting here today, so she's also one of the testifiers that you will see very shortly. We also have so many folks, drivers, who are sitting right in the front row, who were all of them hurt during their daily routine while they were only doing to work for their own families like everybody else. They're all family men, folks, and they have families, and some of them may not even able to work today for their families because of the injuries that they sustained from those incidents. So as the head of this organization, I have been hearing all of these stories for the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm also a driver myself, and I started driving for Uber and Lyft sometime in 2014. So I know all the issues and problems that those drivers were going through. And they never had any ear to listen about those issues. And thank God we finally came together and just kind of organized ourselves and kind of collected our problems and things that we were concerned. And that's why we finally ended up coming in front of you and bringing this bill right in front of you. We kindly request from all of you to just look into this issue, and we know that every problem has a solution. So we think that the solutions are right in front of us, and I will kindly again request from you to vote for this bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next testifier is Ghari Abdi, who will be followed by Abdullahi Abdi. Please come forward, state your name for the record, and proceed to your testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Again, I would love to interpret for this gentleman who is one of the testifiers. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Magacaygu waa Abdullahi Abdi.
My name is Abdullahi Abdi.
Waxaan u shaqeeyaa Uber iyo Lyft.
And I drive for Uber and Lyft.
And 2022-kii bishii sagaalad ayaan ku dhaawacmay Uber oo qof aan waday I dilay.
September 2021, I had an incident where I got injured.
And kulli waa aragtaan ee kuna qofii dhaarada dhibki macnaheedu waxa iga gaaray wixii ugu dhacay ee marqaati waxa ay ahaa shaartiga aan qabay waka dhiiga ku yaalo waan soo qaatay si aan marqaati u noqoto.
And the same shirt that the bloody shirt that I'm wearing now, it's the shirt that I was wearing at the time when I had that incident.
Dhibka markii ugu dhacay Uber aan u shaqeynayay wax ay igala soo hadleen iyo xiriir ila soo sameeyeen malahan.
And when that incident happened, I have never had any contact with anyone from the Uber company.
Habeen baan shaqeynayay ninkaasi aan soo qaaday oo habeenimada soo qaaday ii dilay $4 buu igu dilay oo ku waday.
The gentleman or the passenger that I was transporting at the time who just caused all of these injuries that you can see with your eyes did that only for $4.
And inta markay igu dhacday dambiilihii dawladda soo qabatay.
After that happened, the criminal was apprehended by the government. And I was told that he was a juvenile. Basically, he was 17 years old and he was released. And there was no any consultation about the release that they did with the criminal. And financially, there was no any support that I get from anyone. I was a dad who has a kid. And the rental house that I was living, I was evicted and kicked out of it because of financial issues. I was staying in my house and didn't do anything because of my injuries. And after that happened, I went to seek an attorney. And the attorney told me that he couldn't do anything about my issue. And he said, I'm going to tell you the reason why.
Wuxuu yidhi Uber sharcigii waddanka United States u yaala jeebkay gashadeen sharci cusub ayaga ay leeyihiin bay la soo baxeen kaasanay kugu maamulayn adiga wax walba wax dhibaato ku dhibaateen loo adiga sharcigaasi ku qorteen kaasanay kugu maamulayaan.
And he said, yeah, Uber has their own system of just doing whatever they want to do and no one can do anything about it.
Marka maanta waxaan halka u fadhiyaa dhibanaan ahay marka Uber sharcigii waddanka u yaalay ee jeebkooda ku jiray inta la soo bixiyo dhexdana loo soo dhigoon cadaaladana lagu xukumaan u fadhiyaa saaki waan mahadsantiin.
The reason why I'm here today is I'm seeking for justice and that's something that you guys can work with me because Uber is a very powerful company that has used the system for their own benefits.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Ali, if you could let Mr. Abdi know that we are grateful for him coming and sharing his story today, and we're sorry to hear about what happened to him. I appreciate that. Next will be Abdullahi Abdi, who will be followed by Abdi Rashid Muhammad.
Thank you.
Abdullahi Abdi? No, that was Gari Abdi. Oh, I'm sorry. Then we have Abdi Rashid Muhammad. Welcome to the room.
Did he say Gari? Gari Kapadoa. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Did you say Gari?
I have Abdi Rashid Muhammad. We had Gari Abdi.
After that? After him?
Called before.
Oh, then she's here. Gary's here.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we'll come back to Ms. Abdi.
Okay.
You want to do Mr. Muhammad now?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I will do that.
You can sit.
magacaygu waa Cabdirashiid Salaam.
My name is Abdirashid Salam.
Waxaan ahay darawal darawalada Uber iyo Lyft u shaqeeya.
I drive for Uber and Lyft.
Maanta waxaan rabaa inaan ka cadeeyo meeshan anoo u shaqeynayo Uber shil aan galay dhibaato soo gaartay inaan meesha ka cadeeyo aan rabaa.
I want to share with you an incident that happened while I was driving for Uber and Lyft, basically an accident that I was involved.
Taariikhdu waxay ahayd sanadkii aan soo dhaafnay bishii 16-kii maalinta iyada ee qofkaas airport-kan ka qaaday terminal 1 waxaan waday dhankaas register magaalada ka sokeyso.
It was June last year, June 19th last year, when I picked up someone from the airport and I was on my way to register.
Mr. Ali, you don't need to lean into your microphone so close. It's causing some feedback. So you just sit normally, your microphone will pick you up.
Okay.
When the accident has occurred, I was I became unconscious and I was hospitalized. I was in coma for 6 hours and I just came back after 6 hours. I became conscious after 6 hours.
xafadayda aan tagay marka waxaan noqday qof xanuunsan oo injury huburan la xiriiray hubur caafimaad kataa inay iga bixiyeen way diideen saddex bilood aan suuf yaan fadhiyey shaqo la'aan aan ahay saddexda bilood income ay isiiyeen ma jirto waayo
I spent a night in the hospital and then I went to my home and spent for the next 3 months staying home and I wasn't compensated. I didn't get any penny from Uber and Lyft, and even they didn't do anything about my medical bills. And my car was also totaled. And their insurance was very high. Their deductible is $2,500. And they say that's our system, our insurance way. And I get a head injury, more like a brain injury, and Uber did not do anything about it until today.
Thank you very much for testifying, and Mr. Ali, if you let me know, thank you very much for testifying. I'm very sorry to hear about your experience. So we'll now do Ms. Abdi, if she's here, Gari Abdi. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Gari Muhammad Abdi. I'm one of the victims of Uber and Lyft. My spouse was killed during his daily routine. On his way of picking up a passenger, he was involved in an accident where there was a car chase between a criminal and a police, and then in that incident, he unfortunately was shot to death. Until today, I didn't hear anything from Uber, and we were not compensated even for a penny. They didn't even pay attention, or they didn't even investigate who killed him and didn't give a care about it. We need justice, and that's why I'm here today. I'm a mom who is raising six children.
and all the six children that I'm raising are his kids. I need justice, and I need some sort of compensation so that I can take care of his kids. Thank you.
Thank you for coming and testifying, Mr. Ali. If you could let her know that we're very grateful for her coming to testify, and we're very sorry for the terrible tragedy. Next will be Faisal Mohammed, followed by Abdul Yusuf. Mr. Mohammed, if you just come forward, state your name for the record, proceed your testimony. Welcome to the committee. And just so everyone knows, I'm giving roughly double the time for people who require translation, figuring that it's...
My name is Faisal Mohammed. I used to drive for Uber and Lyft. I had an injury brain in 2020. And I have been in hospital for the last year. After I get that injury, I spent like a year in hospital. And after I just felt better, I tried to seek an attorney.
Marka lawyer kamarka tagay wax aan ka qoon karno arintan jirtoo ku dhaa shaqadan waa contract
and he told me that this was a contract deal, so there's nothing I can do for you.
Wali xanuunki waan dareema oo waan la shaqaysan lahay.
I am still feeling the pain that has came from that injury that I sustained.
Ademana waan haystaa
and I do have the medical papers. And I have seven kids, and I'm got a very large family. Until today, I am still following with doctors because of the brain injury that I sustained. And if you need some evidence, I have it with me now. I wasn't compensated, and I didn't get any contact from Uber at all. And we need some sort of justice for all of those people who were hurt, and including myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to the committee and sharing your story today. I appreciate it. Next, we have Abdul Yusuf, who will be followed by Awil Shire. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record. Proceed your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Abdul Yusuf. I am a consultant with Uber, and also I'm also from the driving community as a community wise. So I actually helped bring the two parties together, negotiate, and I thank the Representative Holland and others to bring this bill to the floor, which actually brought me here to help mediate the two groups. All the problems that was raised in here has been addressed during that negotiations, and all the things are in that DE6 amendment that you have. With the drivers and Uber negotiations that reached out an agreement, it actually solves the problem of the rate, which doubles the current rate, whatever the drivers are making right now. With the driver and Uber agreement, it will double that. It has occupational accident insurance up to $1 million to cover. It actually helps drivers to get that income, double it up. If the current bill, the way it is right now, it used to be like five times from the current rate. Today, with the $1.85 in there, it's roughly about 350% of what it is right now, where the Uber and the driver agreement is double of what the current rate is. In this case, there is a missing element in here, which is the customers. You legislate for thousands of drivers and millions of riders. and a delicate balance between the two is what's needed the most. With the DE6, it addresses that. The most important part is that if the rate is too high, too many people will not afford it, middle class and lower income people. At the same time, the very drivers you are trying to help will get hurt because there will be no customers. So I urge you to take a look at the DE6, which addresses almost everything that has been addressed in here, and it's amicable to the drivers and to the customers. And I thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Before we move to the next testimony, I just want to clarify for members so there's not confusion. There are three amendments in your packet. The DE7 is the amendment that we adopted at the outset. I understand there's the A1 amendment, which I think Representative Dowd will be offering once we get to amendments. And then the testifier just mentioned the DE6, which was included in your packets at the request of some of the testifiers today, but it's not, to my knowledge, being offered by a member. So that's, if you hear the DE6, that's been offered by a testifier. It's not an amendment that has been moved. The next testifier is Aweel Shire, who will be followed by Joel Carlson. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Shire. Come forward, state your name for the record, and proceed your testimony.
My name is Aweel Shire. I am the president of Minnesota Rideshare Drivers Association. Last year, we came to you to help us get our rights from Uber and Lyft. Thank you for bringing this bill to the floor. It helped to get the companies to the table. Minnesota Rideshare Drivers Association has negotiated with Uber and reached an agreement that gives drivers more than 90% of our need. Number one, double our income. Second, $1 million occupational insurance. Third, clear language of independent contractor language and more. We submitted to the terms of our agreement a month ago and are still waiting for your response. Please look at it. It might solve all this problem. We support Amendment DE6, which is our agreement with Uber. We have a petition signature. It will send it to the staff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Shire, and I apologize for mispronouncing your name. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Joel Carlson, who will be followed by Shoaib Muhammad.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Joel Carlson. I own legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I've long represented Uber Technologies, actually since Uber first started operating in Minnesota in 2012. Before I begin, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just reference a couple documents that I'm going to talk about. So to be expeditious, I'd like to at least let members know. I'm for sure going to address the DE7 amendment of Representative Hassan, who I have attempted to meet with and emailed, and we emailed an agreement to her over a month ago that we've had with drivers. So we have done what we can to reach out. But I want to talk about the DE7. I put in your packet the New York City TNC rates. I put in the packet for you a draft or a sample of what a driver gets after each ride, and I want to talk briefly about the DE6 amendment that was referenced by the Minnesota Rideshare Drivers Association. As it relates to the DE7, Mr. Chairman and members, there are some substantial flaws to this amendment that would make the operation of these businesses impossible. It starts right on the bottom of page one on 1.23, and you will see that it says at 1.123 and 2.1 that Uber or Lyft, any TNC, must provide all the requirements set out in 265B-472. That means now that drivers don't have to provide their own insurance. That is not how this system operates or can operate. That language is very problematic. As it relates to the other insurance in this proposal, you will note on 2.7 that it says that while a driver is logged into their account, this occupational insurance applies. Who would ever log out? You really only need the insurance when you're actually engaged in work. What that says on 2.7 is that insurance is covered completely every time you're logged into an account. That is unlike any in the country and is just unworkable. As it relates to the compensation, and we've had a lot of conversations about this, $1.85 a mile is the most expensive in the country, and our most regulated market is New York City. And as you have in your packet, the mileage rate in New York City is $1.31 a mile, as set by the city of New York, not by Uber. And they have to pay for their own insurance. In Minnesota, we pay for the insurance, and we're offering to pay for the occupational insurance. This is just unsustainable, Mr. Chairman. One of the things that Mr. Cooper mentioned, and I disagree with many of the things he said, but you need to know that we classify independent contractors all the time in law. And this is needed. These drivers want their independence. Of all the drivers I've met with, they do not want to be employees. And if you don't think we do that, I would refer members to Minnesota Statute 176.043, which is where we actually define independent contractors for couriers and truck drivers and others that are doing independent work. And we're happy to work on this. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Next, we have Shweb Mohammed, who will be followed by Abdullahi Ahmed. Welcome to the committee. Please come forward, state your name for the record, proceed to your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Shweb Mohammed. I'm one of our board member of Minnesota Ride Drivers Association. Minnesota Ride Drivers Association, we need drivers to be protected from TNC. And also, we need a house to protect the consumer. High bill is less customer and kill the business. We support this bill 100%. And also, for example, if a driver pick a ride for 10 mile, currently he's getting $8.60. This current bill, driver takes for 10 mile, almost $30.30. But our agreement, as a merger, we have an agreement with Uber that will double the drivers. For 10 mile, he will make like $16 an hour. So we are requesting a bill that drivers can make 100%. Currently, they are taking 58 cents. But we have an agreement with Uber as a merger that currently, if possible, there's a big agreement that we agreed and already we submitted, but I don't know if that was been amendment to the system. That is $1.15 for a mile and 25 cents for a minute. So as a driver perspective, we need something should be possible, and if this session can be approved so that the drivers can get a livable wage that can change their lives and their families' bills. Thank you very much, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your testimony today. I appreciate it. Next, we have Abdullahi Ahmed, who will be followed by Andrew Carlson. Mr. Ahmed. Doesn't appear that Mr. Ahmed is here, so we will next have our last testifier, Andrew Carlson. Mr. Carlson.
Chair Stevenson and members of the House Commerce Committee, my name is Andrew Carlson with Larkin Hoffman, and here testifying today on behalf of Lyft. Lyft supports a policy proposal that guarantees driver independence and flexibility combined with an earnings floor and basic protections. But it's important that we do so in an objective, data-driven way that doesn't sacrifice rider affordability or jeopardize earning opportunities for drivers. Lyft has supported legislation to this effect across the country. For example, in March of 2022, following collaboration with organized labor in Washington State, Lyft was proud to support HB 2076. This landmark legislation ensures new benefits for drivers, including an earnings floor, paid sick time, and on-the-job injury insurance. In contrast, this process has not permitted negotiation or conversation with all stakeholders. The result is a bill that would make rideshare too expensive for most Minnesotans and could potentially result in Lyft being forced out of the market. Lyft is opposed to House File 2369 because it will increase the average trip fare three times and result in a fare three to four times more expensive than taxis. For example, under this bill, a trip from downtown Minneapolis to downtown St. Paul will go from $17 to $54. Today, 60% of Lyft rides in Minnesota start and end in low-income areas. However, this bill will turn rideshare into a luxury only available to wealthy Minnesotans. Rideshare also provides tens of thousands of people in Minnesota with important earning opportunities. Lyft drivers during the third quarter of 2022 were earning an average of $35 per utilized hour, including tips and bonuses. This reflects a 6% increase year over year. Unfortunately, this bill will increase ride fares so dramatically that it will decrease the overall number of rides a driver can give, thereby undercutting their earnings. Since this bill was introduced on March 1st, Lyft has collaborated with legislators and drivers. The A1 amendment, which we will be discussing shortly today, will increase driver pay by 40% and require companies to provide occupational accident insurance. We believe this will be supported by the vast majority of drivers. Rather than passing a bill that would hurt drivers and riders, we welcome the opportunity to work together to create smart benefits that protect this important transportation option and earnings opportunity, combined with protecting the independence and flexibility that drivers in Minnesota overwhelmingly support. This bill still neglects to reflect any willingness to negotiate with the rideshare companies to reach a compromise on a mutually beneficial solution. Members, I'd also like to draw your attention to there's two letters in your packet.
Mr. Carlson, I got to ask you to.
Okay, two letters in your packet. Please take a look at those.
That Thank concludes you, Mr. my Carlson. Testimony. That concludes public testimony. We'll move to member discussion, beginning with the A1 amendment, which I understand Representative Dowd is offering. If you'd like to move and describe your amendment, Representative Dowd.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A1 amendment. The A1 amendment is, I think, something that represents a little bit of what former Representative Carlson mentioned. It's a movement by Lyft that would increase driver pay by 40%, require companies to provide occupational accident insurance, and I think Lyft believes that this would be supported by the vast majority of drivers. So I think it's just a more workable version. And I do appreciate that all of the parties have kind of put their language in front of us so we can see how far apart people are right now. But this represents where I think Lyft is at. And I think Representative Carlson would like to speak to it as well.
I think Representative Carlson has the opportunity to testify on that. We limited everyone to 2 minutes. So you can step down, Mr. Carlson. Discussion to the A1 amendment. Chair Hassan, Chair Noor, I don't know who wants to speak to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think what you had today is $50, $54 coming from Minneapolis. This bill that is in front of you, the amendment that has been introduced by Chair Hassan, if you look at the numbers, it's $1.85 and 25 cents per mile, per minute. That means coming from my home in Minneapolis to here, it's $16.50. And quite frankly, I think the Lyft discussed about the HB 2075. In Seattle, they're paying $1.40 a mile. And then they're also paying Uber and Lyft, they're paying 59 cents per minute. This is one of the best compromises that they're getting. It's actually cheaper than what they're paying in Seattle and Washington State. They've agreed to pay that. So what we have in this bill is the worker protections in terms of deactivations, which we have seen with or without any reason. Someone can be deactivated at any moment. And likewise, I think the proposal that we have here, we've invited Uber and Lyft to come to the table. The $1.15, when they were paying $1.94 when they came to the state of Minnesota, the 96 cents, they did get rid of all the taxes. Now they have the monopoly, they've reduced the pay to 80 cents. 80 cents. That's not acceptable. We need to protect the workers who are providing these essential services and providing them with livable wage so that they can provide for their families. That's exactly what we're doing in this. But what they're doing, it's opposite. We've invited Uber and Lyft to come to the table and have that conversation. They've decided you take it or leave it. And that's not the way that we negotiate here. And that's why we're opposing this amendment, and we're hoping that you'll support the proposals that is before you with DE1, DE7.
Further discussion to the A1 amendment. Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a question about line 2.25. We heard testimony today of one of the drivers who was in the hospital for a year for a traumatic brain injury, I think was the testimony. And this would cap medical expenses incurred up to at least $250,000. My question would be, who would pick up those other expenses?
Representative Doubt, I don't know if you want to answer that also, if you want to ask Mr. Carlson to answer that. That's
probably fine. Mr. Carlson could.
Mr. Carlson?
Representative Claiborne, line 2.25, coverage for medical expenses incurred up to $250,000. Yes, that's what we're proposing in the bill. The rationale is that we believe is insurance that's available on the market, so that's why it's listed here in our proposal.
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you. So an individual who suffered a traumatic injury that caused extensive hospitalization, what would they do to have their expenses covered?
Mr. Carlson.
Again, all I can, Representative Claiborne, beyond that would fall beyond the coverage stated in the bill.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion to the A1 amendment. Representative Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just the last question, I guess I would say that all auto insurance has limits on what they pay. That wouldn't be unique to Uber and Lyft drivers. That's how auto insurance works. They never pay the full amount. So it would either be covered by health insurance or charity care or other means. But that's not atypical.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Discussion to the bill. Representative Doubt.
Can the bill off? I feel like this is one of those issues, thank you, Mr. Chairman, that requires kind of a agreement between all the parties. I think people don't necessarily like voting for legislation that, you know, favors one side over the other necessarily, but I think we want to make sure that folks are taken care of. Can you give us a little update on how conversations are going? I got the impression from one of the testifiers that they have reached out to you as the bill author, but have not had meetings with you. Can you just comment on that?
Chair Hassan.
Mr. Chair and members, so this conversation started about a year ago, like I said. We met with 1,000 drivers at Embassy Suites in near the airport, and all of them had the same problem. I got injured, no one was there to help me. I'm driving and I'm barely making money. Uber, what started as an app that charged only 19%, is now charging over 70%. And what we did, Rep. Noor, myself, and Senator Fatah, was write a letter to Uber and Lyft, like what legislators do, right? And this was last year, summer of last year. We wrote a nice letter that just laid out all the problems that people talked about. We're like, we really need to discuss this with you. Can you come to the table? Lyft wrote a nice letter back and said that, yes, we acknowledge that there are problems and we're willing to come to the table. What did Uber do? They denied everything. They said the most we charge is 19% commission rate, and we are working with people, da 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 da. I'm surprised that I'm being told that we've been communicating with you, because I have met with Lyft multiple times, numerous times. I have yet to meet with Uber. Uber sent me an email that says this is the one and only offer we're giving you, take it or leave it. That's not how I legislate, and I don't think that's how you legislate. You don't take, orders from lobbies that say take it or leave it. This is the only offer we're giving you. If that's what was being talked about right now, that they have reached out to me, I was given an ultimatum, and I didn't take the ultimatum. But Lyft has been communicating with us, and this isn't the end. I'm still open to working with people, but I want to make sure that the people that you see here are protected. The people that you see here can, at the end of the night, go home to their families safe in one piece, and that's what this is about. And Rep. Doubt, you're right. We don't want a legislation that's one-sided, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But what I refuse to do is bow down to a lobbyist that tells me this is the only offer you're going to get from me.
Representative Dowell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. These issues are tough to work on, I know, and get all the parties in a room and on board. But it wasn't just a lobbyist. It was a member of the public who, I can't remember his name, but he was one of the testifiers who said that he had worked with the drivers and had an agreement between the drivers and one of those organizations. We had a testifier that said that, so I just was interested in how that transpired and why that didn't materialize. Maybe just some effort to get everybody in a room and kind of hash things out would be a good path forward now.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to Chair, so I'm going to ask people in the audience to keep their comments down. Yeah. We're going to keep the discussion
Chair,
at the table.
Like I said, I'm open to conversations. I'm open to negotiating with people. That's what we do here. We bring everybody at the table, and we figure out a way to meet halfway. And I'm open to that. Anybody who wants to work on this with me, including you, Rep. Dot, I'm inviting you to the table. Come to the table. Let's find a common point where people can actually make money. I don't want to kick all of these people out of their jobs. That's not what I'm trying to do. I wouldn't be coming in front of you telling you, hey, let's protect them so I can kick them out of his jobs. That makes no sense. I want to make sure that they can continue to work, do their job. And this job is a flexible job. That's what they love about them. They can take their kids to school and then go back to work and then pick them up and take their wives to the doctor's appointment and do grocery shopping while they're all still working. And that's the flexibility of somebody who has family commitments. I want to keep them employed. I want to make sure that Uber and Lyft can make whatever money that they're making, not on the expense of, like, hurting drivers and taking all the profit home. So I invite you and other members to come and work with me and figure out how do we make sure that we bring something that's acceptable to everyone.
Yeah. Representative Katiza-Batun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Hassan and Chair Noor, for bringing this bill forward. I think, you know, this – from just the brief testimony that we've heard today, it's certainly a problem that's impacting a lot of folks. I have a question. I'm just trying to map this issue onto maybe a different type of career path that maybe might help me understand this a little bit more as I learn more about the rideshare industry. So if somebody is working, let's say, in the IT industry and they're, like, subcontracting through another company and they are on contract at one of the Fortune 500 companies around the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area, and they, you know, go to the client site and something happens either on their way to the client site or once they're at the client site, some sort of violent, unpredictable incident. Do you know, or maybe one of the testifiers could speak to, like, what is covered at that point for somebody who's not a rideshare driver? I mean, in kind of in general business employment situations, like, does that subcontractor then have to pay for all of their own care? Is there sort of other compensation that's been given to them from their employee or the contractor company? I'm just trying to understand how this compares to a different type of industry, because it seems like there would be some sort of coverage.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mr. Cooper?
Ms. Chair, Madam. It would depend tremendously on which situation you are. There's often, like, for instance, in the nursing industry, there's often the subcontractor works for somebody. And so that not where they're going, but for somebody else, and they would provide either workers' comp or insurance. The second thing here is this is not random, and that's the big thing different here. These are targeted individuals. People view this as money on wheels, and what we have is a much higher rate, except maybe with firefighters and police officers, but we have a much higher rate of serious permanent injury than you're ever going to have in IT. Now, what I just said depends on the situation. There may be ones that are pure independent contractors in your hypothetical, and there may be ones who are from something else. It would depend on that. It also would vary from company to company, what do they provide. The problem we have here is, as I said before, there are so many that are getting nothing and ultimately wind up on the tax rolls because nobody's paying. I mean, nobody's paying. I hope I answered your question.
Representative Katiza-Batun.
It does help a little bit. Thank you for that.
Could Representative Joel Carlson speak to that point, too? He spoke a lot about
So Representative Dowd is asking if Mr. Carlson could answer the same question. Mr. Carlson, if you're available to answer the question.
Sure. I can just stand. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Dowd and Representative Katiza Batun. To answer your question, you make a choice to be an independent contractor. I am an independent contractor. I pay for my own insurance. I cover myself. I protect myself. That is the nature of the work that you choose when you're an independent contractor. So in your hypothetical, unless the person you are working for has committed a harm, a wrong, right? They had a duty to you, they breached that duty, and it caused harm. You don't have a claim against them if you are just randomly injured. And while we are all sympathetic to the injury stories we've heard, if they're injured in a car accident, Uber pays the insurance. That's covered. A random act of violence, which impacts all of us and it's horrible, there isn't really a societal recovery for that. So the answer is, in that scenario, there isn't a recovery, and that's just what the nature of independence means in the workplace.
Thank you.
Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know you're trying to move this along, so I'll just be really brief. I mean, I just really want to thank Representative Hassan. It sure sounds to me like you've been very diligent, and I really appreciate that. This is obviously a group of people that very much needs representation, and this independent contractor thing is really a recipe for exploitation, and we're really seeing it here. And so I really appreciate that you're doing this. The discussion about the limits of insurance really did catch my attention, because what happens when people don't have coverage? You know, it was mentioned, charity care. This is also comes back to the state. It also comes back to our public programs. You know, people complain about, oh, we're doing all these things we're trying to do for families and support people and pull people up. These are people who are working. They're working hard. They're working every day. They're taking on dangerous situations to support their families. Their work should support them. And if we don't have work support people, then no one should complain when public programs need to support people. So I just so appreciate this, Representative Hassan, and I am thrilled to vote for it. So thank you.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just really want to thank all the Uber drivers that came and talked to me yesterday about this issue. I have a lot of drivers in my district. I see a few Fridley folks here. And so this is by far one of the issues that I've been contacted the most on. And so I just really want to thank you for your work as well. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've been kind of looking at on my phone is if there's any kind of workers' comp max benefits that you know, W-2 employees get. I would really like that insurance piece and making sure that our drivers are covered if they're injured or hurt on the job. So thank you very much.
I'll turn it over to Chair Hassan for closing comments. Before I do, I just Representative Liebling shared a lot of the sentiment that I wanted to express, that I'm grateful for the amount of work that you're doing on this bill. You and I have talked about this bill on a number of occasions. I know you're working very hard to advocate for the people who are in the audience today and a lot of people who aren't, who are out working right now. And I appreciate that very much. So thank you. Chair Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for the conversation. This isn't a problem that's unique to us. Uber and Lyft came in as a cheap ride, and that's how they got, you know, the tax companies, all deactivated, right? We all wanted a cheap ride, but the thing is, if that cheap ride is also, like, keeps increasing and then also hurting people, that's not what we are about. Minnesota has, I said this in my opening remarks, Minnesota has the highest worker protections, and we want to keep it that way. And as you can see, the people behind me that are all here are taking time out of their really important work. And if you order Uber or Lyft now, you may have to wait because all of them are here. I also want to make sure that I say this on the record, that I'm willing to work with anybody who wants to work with me. I'm willing to find a solution to keep these drivers driving, but to keep them safe and a hole, and they can go home to their families at the end of the night. That's what this bill does. If anybody's interested to work with me to make sure that the other groups that aren't unhappy with my bill right now want to come to the table and work with me, I'm looking at Rep. Dot right now. Come help me. If you have the link to other groups who are really unhappy with this bill, but we have come a long way and we have worked on this bill and we have been at this for almost a year. While the bill was stuck in the advisor's office, we've been meeting with people, talking to people, and the bill had a full hearing in labor and judiciary. And this is what you see it right now is a really negotiated bill that came down from what was the most expensive bill. This is one of the testimony from Uber was this is the most expensive bill in the nation. It's not. It's a bill that will protect these people that are sitting behind me. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. And seeing that, I will renew my motion that House File 2369 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay.
Nay.
No. The motion prevails, and House File 2369, as amended, is recommended to be placed on the General Register. Before we adjourn, we do have one last item of business, which is to approve our minutes from April 11th, 2023. Representative Katiza-Watoon, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move approval of the April 11th minute.
Representative Katiza-Watoon moves approval of our minutes from April 11th, 2023. Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes from April 11th, 2023 are approved, and with that, the meeting is adjourned.